Thank you, Sonny. That was wonderful. The songs tonight were wonderful. You even took me back to Congo tonight with Blessed Be the Name. And I couldn't help but sing one of the refrains. Herijina lake, herijina lake, herijina la Yesu Christo. Herijina lake, herijina lake, herijina la Yesu buona. It's the same song in Swahili. And it's wonderful. It takes us back to a lot of our hymns translated into Swahili. Well, tonight we're going to be continuing on in Ephesians chapter 6. And I wore the shirt to remind you that we're looking at stop, stand, take up, open, and lastly pray. And we are to the open tonight. And that comes from Ephesians chapter 6, 18b, then I'll read down to 19:2. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me, and here it is, in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And I want us to concentrate on the open because I believe there is a direct correlation between these verses and what had just come before about putting on the whole armor of God and being equipped, and that gives us the boldness to open our mouths and open other things, and we'll see that as we proceed. But before we go any further, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you tonight for the joy of being at this Ozark Family Bible Camp, just the enjoyment of your word, the enjoyment of fellowship, good food, the fun, the activities. God, we thank you for it, and thank you that you are raising up godly families and God, just refreshing us so that we can go home to our places of work and our fellowships in the church and be strengthened to continue laboring for you and working and contributing to your kingdom and your glory. So God, wouldn't you speak to us again tonight? Open the ears of our hearts that we might be receptive to that which you want to teach us and instruct us. And so God, with gentleness, nurture us again tonight, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I proceed on to our topic for tonight, I did want to just touch on one other thing about the shield of faith that we had looked at last night. And that was that faith is really the ultimate protection against the unknowable. And I just wanted to hit upon this because I think a lot of times we face problems in faith because we cannot answer a question. And a lot of times we get stumped by unbelievers asking us spiritual questions or faith questions or even origin questions, and we don't have an answer, as if everybody should have an answer to everything. And it's very interesting because faith is the thing that helps you protect against the unknowable. And you have to understand that there's a lot unknowable in life that we accept and we only go into by exercising faith. When I'm flying over the Atlantic, like I was earlier this year on my way over on a missions trip to Moldova, and I was on an Airbus A320, and I'm going for 9 hours flight, that's 32,400 seconds for that total flight. Can I guarantee myself, do I know beyond a shadow of doubt that every one of those 32,400 seconds that plane is going to keep working right? That in somewhere in that complex operation of that aircraft, that something is not going to go wrong? I can't guarantee it. I can only hope. I can put my faith in those that have put this thing together and their mechanics and those that check it out. When I went into marriage, could I guarantee that my spouse was going to be faithful to me and to the vows that she made to me to the rest of my life? I believed in her word. But can I guarantee it? Can I know for a fact beyond a shadow of a doubt? No, I have to believe in her. And it's like so much of that in life. You have to believe to get past it. If if you wait for the absolute answer to it, you'll never get past it. Now let me bring it a little closer to home. Did you know for a fact tonight at dinner that the food you ate did not have a cockroach that ran over it before you ate it? Do you know for a fact? Were you there? Did you watch that food from beginning to end? See? And you can start thinking about this kind of stuff and it's going to creep you out. Okay? But see, you believed and trusted in those that were doing the work. See? And it got you past that. But for a fact, you did not know. And there's a lot of things you don't know, but you proceed. And that's the shield of faith. It shields us from that kind of garbage that can arrest you and freeze you in place from proceeding. And so that was something I forgot to mention last night. I just wanted to just share that because it is so freeing and helpful when you realize you don't have to have all the answers, but you have to know what you're trusting in, who you're trusting in. See? All right. So we're going to go on to open and look at open. The spiritual battle is not fought with silence, but with words. And we saw that the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, is God's word. The word in our mouth is a sharp sword, just like it says in Revelation about the Lord. We open his mouth, it's like a sharp sword coming out of his mouth. The word is sharp and it's piercing, dividing of soul and spirit, marrow. It can cut. And we have to realize that opening our mouths is going to be the first thing that we need to do once we get a hold of the gospel and we're saved. So we need to open our mouths. We need to be verbalizing the truth of our faith and what we've learned, because silence is not an option. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy." And we go, "Well, that's a good place to stop. Yeah, I'll keep it in my heart and I don't have to talk." And that's what most of us do, and we stop at that point. But then it goes on and says what? "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Be prepared. Be prepared to verbalize, to speak, to share, to give the testimony for the hope that's within you. I remember one time when I was young, I was just out of college. I'd had a new job. I was working for a Christian organization called Medical Assistance Programs International out of Carroll Stream, Illinois, near Wheaton. And they had sent me to a conference out in the Midwest. And I was just floating. It was so exciting. It was a Christian conference. It had to do with the work in the medical field and missions. And I came back so pumped up. I got on the airplane, and as I walked down the aisle, I guess I was just glowing with excitement, just thankfulness in the Lord for what he had done. And I sat down in my seat, and the man, he was an older gentleman, he says, "Why are you glowing?" I said, "Well, let me just tell you why. Because I'm excited in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because what God's done in my life," and I began to share kind of my life history and where I was at in my life, gave me an opportunity to share and to just talk about the Lord Jesus. I didn't say, "Oh, because I had a company pay for this trip and I went to a trip for free and ate food and sat through stuff and didn't have to work these days," you know. I could have said that. Sure, that was fun. A lot of people look forward to those kind of things, company paid trips. They get a break from the grind at the desk or at work. But no, it was because of what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing in me, and I had a chance to verbalize it and open my mouth and give a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to be thinking that way. Faith in Christ is the hope that anchors our souls, that keeps us confident and secure, but also gives us the boldness to speak out and to exercise our faith. And I think that so many people are somehow, I guess, despondent or depressed or something, because, you know, I've found over time, as I've observed Christians that are silent are either discouraged Christians, or they're distracted Christians, or They're fearful Christians. And somehow not living in that victory. And it may be that they've been wounded by a friend. It may be that they're depressed, that circumstances aren't going right, but they need to get their focus back on the Lord Jesus and get their eyes on Him. I read a statistic. I was shocked that in the United States today, there is an astronomical increase in suicides. And it's the highest it's ever been, especially in the 35 to 50-year age bracket. And they don't know why. And I look at that statistic and I think there's a lot of people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ that are going to hell, and we've not reached them. And who did they know that didn't open their mouths to proclaim the Lord Jesus to them? We may have a self-image problem, we may have a shyness problem, we have a fear, whatever, but we need to deal with it and realize that God wants us to be mouthpieces for Him, swords in His hands, swords of the Word of God, speaking out and talking. I think often we're distracted by the cares of the world, entertainment, pleasure, sports, food, whatever. We get into all that stuff, or we're fearful of people's rejection. But by contrast, the believer who's walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be seeking to constantly proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for those opportunities. We have one gentleman who spent every week, he spends several days at the park downtown Raleigh witnessing on his lunch break. Goes down looking for the down and outers and people on the street and always sharing Christ with them. Amazing. It's wonderful to see. And that's why Ephesians 6:19 says that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly. Boldly. When was the last time you prayed that kind of prayer? God, give me the words so that I can open my mouth boldly. To proclaim the mystery of the gospel. How many of you know Bob Brown from Slidell? Quite a few. Dr. Jeff Johnson told me this story from when he was down with Bob one time with another gentleman, and they had meetings down there. And Jeff Johnson told this to me last summer at our Good News on the Move outreach and our evangelism efforts around Apex. And he said, Jonathan, I was really humbled and chastised by Brother Bob. He says, we finished the meetings one evening. We finished up, I think, about 8:30. And Bob said, Jeff, where would you like to go out and grab a bite to eat? And Jeff said, oh, man, I would sure like to have a peach milkshake. There's a restaurant that made these peach milkshakes. And Bob goes, well, you know, there's this restaurant where there's this waitress that I talked to a week ago. I'd really like to go back there. Could we go there? And so Jeff said, all right, let's go there. So Jeff and Bob and the other fellow go there, and they sit down at the table, and that waitress comes up. It was a small outfit, a small restaurant, not much. There were a couple other people there. And the waitress comes up, and Bob goes to her, how are you doing? She goes, oh, fine. And then he goes, no, really, how are you doing? And then her whole demeanor just changed. And she just started to almost weep and said, things are really tough in my life. And she said, can we talk? And Bob goes, yeah, after we eat, we'll get some food and then, yeah, we'll work it out, we'll talk. So they ordered the meal and they had their meal. And by that time, most of the clients in the restaurant had gone. And when they were finishing up, then she said she had time. So Bob went over to another cubicle, another seat, table with chairs where Jeff and the other man could see them. And he talked, I think he said, for like an hour with her. And then he came back with the waitress. And he stands there and he says, gentlemen, may I introduce to you your newest sister in Christ. And Jeff Johnson said to me, he says, Jonathan, he says, I was so rebuked because if I had gotten my peach milkshake, that dear woman would probably be in hell because I would have prevented that from happening. That he sacrificed a desire in order that he could see and concede that Bob should spend time proclaiming the gospel and witnessing. And that really touched me. You know, when we go into battle, when men go into battle, soldiers, they usually yell. You see in movies about wars, and they're charging and they're screaming, ah, like to intimidate somebody. It seems like when you're doing hard things, you know, not just hitting your finger with a hammer, but, you know, I mean, even when you're pulling on something, you're making noises and stuff, and, you know, a woman usually makes noises delivering a baby, and those hard things in life, that's like opening your mouth, right? Well, that's proclaiming what you're going through. You're kind of adding to it. And it's a labor of love, proclaiming the gospel. And we've got to proclaim the gospel with vigor and with zest. And like Paul says in Romans 1:16, not being ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. It's the power. So we proclaim it. Do we believe it's powerful and it speaks and it breaks down walls and resistance? Psalm 119:80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I may not be ashamed. And so opening our mouth is only possible after we open the book. After we open the book, we've got to be in the book. And that's the second open. So open our mouth and then open the book. You know, trying to share the gospel with people, if you've not been in the Word, is like trying to answer a professor's questions about last night's readings when you didn't read the book. And trying to guess at the answers. And how many of us have done that? We're trying to answer a quiz and you haven't read the book. And that's what Scripture says, what? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study, study. Or Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we need to be well steeped and saturated with the Word of God. And as we are, we're able to give counsel and guidance and conviction. We'll be able to share our faith boldly. Then the third open is open your eyes. Open your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see what God has done for you and speak about it. Speak about it. Use the testimony of God's work in your life as a springboard for the gospel. God brings experiences into your life to give you opportunities. I do it all the time with experiences in my life. It's just a great way to just launch off into the gospel using the experience. Isaiah 49:16-18 says, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste go out from you. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather. They come to you. As I live, declares the Lord, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them on as a bride does. They were to have lifted up their eyes and looked around and to see what God was going to do for them. And we can look both at those kind of things as well as backwards at what God has done. When you come to understand the immensity of what God has done for you, you'll be amazed at the amount of things you have to share with people. I think of the history of our family. My father came from a family where, at 12 years of age, his father ran off with another woman and married her. And my father was the oldest of four children. And he had to do a paper route and earn money to put food on the table because my grandmother, his mother, didn't even have a high school education. And she needed to go back to school so she could try and get some education and get a job. And my dad basically had to finance the family. And there were many a times that they lacked food on the table. But his mother was a godly woman. And she prayed and would get the family together. There were times there was no food on the table, yet she would sit the kids down at the table and say, God, you promised you'd never let us go hungry. The righteous would not go hungry. Please provide for my family. And while they're praying, a knock would come on the door. And after prayer, she'd go to the door, and there were just bags of groceries sitting out there for the family. And God provided. And I remember my dad saying that because there had been an abusive uncle too, and just some of the sins of the family, that my dad prayed, said, God, please, I want to break that chain. That when I'm married and have children, that it does not continue. God, use me as the chain breaker of this familial sin that keeps going on. And it's been amazing to watch because his siblings didn't have that, and the pain and the problems. I have a cousin who's a strip dancer in Honolulu, and I saw her when she was young. She was beautiful, strikingly beautiful. And then there was a lapse of many years when she got into it, and then afterwards, and then we saw her a couple years ago, and I tell you what, she looked like a hag, like a witch. She's younger than I am, and she looks haggard, and sin has ruined her, devastated, and she just looks so evil. You just can't imagine. And the shipwreck, her brother into gambling, and just, I mean, I can't tell you the mess that the other side of the family has gotten into, divorces, and just a mess. And I say, God, thank you for what you did in answering Dad's prayer. God, I want to be the chain breaker. I want you to use me to break that chain and not go into those sins. And then to think what God has done in our family. It's God's grace. Because my dad did stay in the book. He was a man of the book. And he just opened his mouth and shared it with us kids. So we need to open our eyes and see what God has done. It's just amazing. Many times you'll find out God's done more than you ever imagined in preparing the path for your life and where you're at today. Lift up your eyes and also see the opportunities out there for you to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. That's why Jesus says what in John 4:35, lift up, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields that are white for harvest. Look at the needs out there. Look at the abundance that's just sitting there. And all it needs is somebody to come and do a little bit of work for an ingathering. All the months of waiting, of the seed, the work of preparing the field and seeding it, and then seeing it grow and watering and weeding, and all that time has passed. And it's right at the fruitful time of harvest, he's saying. There are fields white for the harvest, ripe and ready. Those are the kind of opportunities we need to be praying for and looking for as we lift up our eyes, we open our eyes and say, God, show me the people that need me, that you have prepared. You've done all the preparation of their heart. And then, God, give me the words that I need to speak to their heart that's going to touch their heart right along with your preparation of their heart. And it's so amazing how often that happens. When you've let God prepare you and you go and all of a sudden you say a word or a scripture and it just hits home. Because God has done the work, not us. Think of all the different fields, from children's work to missionary work to medical work, social work, radio work, tract distribution, street preaching and evangelism, Bible teaching, discipleship, mentoring, meals to others. There's just so many opportunities. I think of the Meals on Wheels kind of idea that they're doing over in Moldova. Amazing testimony. Three young men, one of them married. He married an Australian. He comes from Romania, which is quite poor by European standards. they're always looking for better jobs, and a lot of their young people flee to the West to try and find jobs. But when he married this Australian missionary, all his people back home in the church said, "Wow, you've got your ticket now. You're going to have the good life. You're going to move to Australia, aren't you? And you can become an Australian because of your wife." He goes, No, we're going to stay Romanians, and we're going to be missionaries to the poor, to the needy over in Moldova." And he and his brothers and he and his wife are missionaries in Moldova to the needy, poor people, the forgotten elderly people that all the young people have fled west from, and they're working jobs. They've forgotten their families. And here are these widows and these older widowers and people that can't feed themselves. And these young men go every day and take meals to a bunch of people and sit and read a chapter of scripture with them every day, and they know their reward is with the Lord. They open their eyes and they say, "God, here's a need and we can fill it," and they're doing it. And we were with them this summer. What a joy to see the needs. I remember when we were out in Congo, and there was a need as we looked, and there's this area deep in the forest called Yedi that nobody was going out to because there was no road. It was inaccessible except for a footpath that takes 2 days to walk. And up and down some pretty steep hills. And God just laid on our heart, we need to go out to these people. And so with some of the other young men, put a trip together for a week. And we took and we carried boxes. And several of us, there were seven of us, and each man would carry a huge box of Bibles to take out. Because we'd heard a lot of people, no Bibles out there. And so we hiked out there, and there was a price to be paid. As we climbed up and down some of the hills, the paths were so steep that the hill would come like this, and where the people had walked, it had made a little rut like that. And so it's, again, this clay mud, and as you put your foot down, it slipped down and slipped down. And by the time I had gone halfway there, my knees were so torn up, I was in agonizing pain. It had just tore up my knees so bad. I just wondered how in the world I was even going to make it. I did make it. We got sticks and poles, kind of leaning on things, getting support. I got there. I couldn't even move. I was immobilized for several days there, just dreaming about how a helicopter would be wonderful to come in and take me out, which wasn't going to happen. And sad to say, I didn't get to go out and do the evangelizing that the other guys did. I was in such pain. And it was an effort to get back, but we got the Bibles distributed, and they did the evangelism. It was an excruciating, painful trip, but God enabled us to do it and make it back. And so God opens your eyes to things that are beyond your normal comfort zone, your normal areas of responsibility. I want to just show the videos now. Just kind of opening our eyes. These videos will kind of open your eyes to just some other things in the world. Try it again. Is there something I need to do on my end? Try it one more time. Let's see. Okay, that's on. So let's see. Let's make sure we're on this one. And we'll go down here. We had the lights. Yeah, many times seeing things beyond our normal vistas is enlightening, challenging. It just stretches us. Because God's eyes are upon the whole earth. He sees everybody in every corner of this globe. So we say, open your eyes. It's look. Open boldly. Open boldly. He said he's looking that there'd be an opening boldly for him. Open my mouth boldly, he says. God wants us to be bold in our proclamation, not bashful. When you think about boldness, you think of David and Goliath, don't you? And how David could boldly proclaim and stand up to Goliath and say, you know, you're not taunting the armies, you know, of Israel, but you're taunting God. And boy, he could just boldly proclaim. I remember one time when I was in a situation where I had just come back to the house and I found out that some soldiers had been at E10 Day. They had hurt a woman because as they were trying to get stuff, she ran and fell on a sharp spike of a twig, because as they clear areas with their machetes and slash downward, it leaves this very sharp pointed thing on the ground, and she tripped and fell on one. She was pregnant. Thankfully, it didn't ruin the pregnancy. And then these two soldiers stole the watch of our evangelist, and watches are very hard to come by out there. And so when I had heard that these soldiers had come to town and they were taking stuff and had taken money too, then, you know, just my sense of righteousness just started to flare, and I said, I've got to go see these guys. I got to go talk to them. So I got on my four-wheeler, and I asked around, where'd they go? Oh, they went out of town. They've already started out of town. So I chased them down out of town and got them by the road, and I stopped and got off my four-wheeler, and I said, you know, you're the soldiers that were just at E10 Day, you know, and you stole money, and a woman was hurt, and you stole the watch, and they said, who told you this? They're lying to you. We've not done any of this. You're an enemy of Mobutu and his soldiers. And when they started making that accusation against me, I said to them, look, you don't know who I am. I said, I'm a friend of the soldiers. I've saved a soldier's life. And I referred back to a story I didn't finish to tell you, but I have to try and tell you before the end of the conference. But I had saved the soldier's life. And I said, you don't know who I am. The commanders know who I am. But I said, I know that the people who told me this are telling the truth. And I said, God is our witness and God is watching everything that's going on. And I tell you the truth that God will judge you if you don't say the truth to me. Did you steal it and return it if you did? And one guy says, no, we didn't steal anything. And another guy, well, he hands me back the watch. And then I say, they said you stole money too, and you better return that too. God is your witness, and if you're lying, God will judge you. And the guy said, oh, no, we haven't taken anything else. But they had taken money. So I said, well, God is your witness. You're not lying to me. You're lying to God if you are, and you'll have to answer to him. Well, 2 days later, those guys were judged by God. One guy was killed, beaten to death, because some other villagers at another village up in the hills recognized that they were thieves wearing military outfits. And one guy was beat to death, and the other had his bones broken and was in really bad shape. And I had proclaimed to them the gospel in the process and was not afraid of them. June was praying as I went. But the word gives you boldness to go and to present the word. And so we need to boldly proclaim. The last open is to open our hearts. Open our hearts to the truth that Jehovah God, the Lord our God, is the only Savior. He's mighty to save. And that he is able to save people. And maybe it's that we don't proclaim him because we're afraid that he can't or won't save the people that we're working with. That we'll be ashamed or there'll be a bad reflection on us. Let God do the work. He is mighty to save. We need to open our hearts. Open our hearts to the poor, the widows, the orphans, the prisoners, all those that are in distress, that we might go to them and boldly proclaim, as Paul says, the gospel. What are we doing about it? And I just I just love these kind of things, and I couldn't help but not be at a time like this without slipping in some missionary stuff. You know, no matter what you're facing today, no matter how difficult life is or how deep or how dark situations might be for you, the Lord Jesus wants to turn things around and put your hope solidly on Him. He wants to re-energize your life and say, you know, I can use you. Believe me. I can change you. I can help you to be a bold testimony for me. You may not think you can, but I can do it, God says. Are you willing to trust Him? Are you willing to say, God, start a new effort in my life of reaching people for you? That's what, you know, fruitfulness is all about in the gospel. Being fruitful for Him. That we think about that. That we start getting active, bold. That we open up our mouths for the gospel boldly. And stop wasting our time on useless stuff. And make our time count. Read good books like our brother Brian was telling us. Get into those things that are good helps. Get in the Word, memorize Scripture, be bold about your testimony, and watch the fruit come in the joy that comes from it. And do you know what it does too? It energizes the whole church. When results come, the whole body of Christ gets energized. All it takes is one new believer in the church, and it's just amazing the life that new believer brings. Because of the zeal, and just it's just like the joy of a new young baby. A newborn baby comes in, and it's just everybody, let me hold it. Oh, this is so cool. And you watch, and you get to watch that whole process all over again from that newborn state to start maturing. And that's how it is with new believers. We need to ask God to just reinvigorate us, revive us, to re-energize us. Time is short. The Lord Jesus is coming, and He asks us to be busy about His business. Let's open powerfully the gospel, and then open our mouths boldly for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you tonight again for your word. Thank you for the truths that are all laid out for us. It is an inexhaustible mine of truth that we have the privilege of exploring and digging in. And that in addition to all that, you've given us your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and to illuminate our hearts and minds about the Lord Jesus Christ and to help us to understand, to convict us of sin and of righteousness and about judgment. God, we need you again to revive us and to help us to see with passion your vision of the lost and how to reach them, that you'd use our mouths and lives for your glory to reach souls. And God, again, if there's anyone here this evening that has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, may they not wait. May they see the seriousness of their situation, God. Only you can convict them. It's not any pressure from family or preacher or anybody else, God. It's only you that can convict and save. And so, God, we ask that you would. We thank you for the richness of this time that we can enjoy and the beauties of your word. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.